Next item on the agenda is Cherry Dale by the Sea, docket number 08103. Mr. Badger.
Yes, sir. Cherry Dale by the Sea requests authorization to change the use of their 1,400-foot-long private pier to a community use structure to serve the lot owners of the Cherry Dale subdivision and extend the existing 30-foot by 10-foot T-head an additional 700 feet to accommodate the mooring of up to 21 community boats. The project is situated along a small tributary to the Ramshorn Channel, adjacent to lots 13, 14, and 15 in the Cherry Dale subdivision of Northampton County. No riparian piers will be permitted in the subdivision if this is approved. Cherry Dale by the Sea subdivision is approximately 3 miles northeast of the town of Eastville on the seaside of the Eastern Shore. This is Ramshorn Channel, the intercoastal waterway comes up through here. And Cobb Island is approximately 4 miles east of here. A little closer view. Cherry Dale by the Sea subdivision starts on the seaside road, continues on down through this gut, and continues through the small gut up here. This marsh on the other side is in question. However, the agent's family, I believe, owns it, and they're not in protest of the project. A little closer view. In red is my rendition of the outline of the subdivision itself. Cherry Dale subdivision is 734 acres, and it consists of 21 lots, 14 of which are waterfront property owners. The marsh itself averages on the north side approximately 2,050 feet to the nearest water, and the closest water access for pier purposes would be about 200 to 250 feet. The average marsh size in this area is approximately 1,000 feet. Each one of these lots starts back here, as you may be able to see the subdivision road itself right through here. And all 14 riparian lots start here and continue all the way out. Just want to give you a little history of how we got to where we are today. Back in 2005, Cherry Dale by the Sea applied for a community pier that was going to be 1,400 feet long with a 30-foot by 10-foot T-head at the end. This was brought in front of the Wetlands Board. The Wetlands Board had concerns about the impacts to the wetlands in this particular case, and also because the subdivision owner, Paul Forrest, was not willing at that time to give up the riparian rights to build private piers across all 14 lots. That project was denied because of those reasons. In early 2006, Paul Forrest came back and applied for basically the same pier. He just moved it over to lot 14, which is kind of here in the pink, a little closer view, right here. Moved the entire pier over to there on lot 14, still 1,400 feet long with a 30 by 10 foot T-head. And by doing this, no authorization was required from VMRC or the local wetlands board, and the Army Corps of Engineers issued an RP 17, and later that year the pier was constructed. This is the outer 600 feet of the pier. If you look here, oops, there is a small marsh, a hummocks right here with trees on it, so we'll be looking right here. Anyway, back in 2006, it was built. During the construction of the pier, a large area of vegetated wetlands adjacent to the pier was impacted by the construction equipment, and the local wetlands board and Dr. Forrest have been working to restore this area. This is the last area that has not been restored, as you can see where the equipment was here and it's dragged across, but they're still in the process of working on that.
Did they use mat construction?
They did on portions of it. What happened is a piece of the equipment broke, and they had to drag it back and created a problem, which is what the Wetlands Board itself was worried about with all these private piers, the same thing happening and these piers being 1,000 foot long each. In January of this year, we received the current application for a community pier with the mooring space for 12 boats, and that would have been from here northward. 350 feet attached here. The applicant's original request did not exclude the right for the 14 riparian lots to construct piers. Because of the Northampton County Wetlands Board's concerns with the cumulative adverse impacts of wetlands from the building of private piers and the impact of wetlands that occurred from the construction of the one private pier on Lot 14, the board requested that the riparian rights to build private piers on all of the waterfront lots within the subdivision be severed. The applicant agreed to sever the rights to build private piers on all 14 lots with the stipulation that the proposed community pier be large enough to accommodate the 21 boats, the mooring of 21 boats. As again, there's 21 lots. He was basically wanting to get a slip for every lot, riparian or not. The applicant and the Wetlands Board's, board was aware of VMRC's general policy to allow two slips at a community pier for each riparian lot that would sever their rights to a private pier. The board agreed in principle, and the project was re-noticed. The board approved the modification to the community pier with space for 21 boat slips at their May meeting of this year, with the stipulation that the riparian rights to construct private piers on all the waterfront lots be forever prohibited. So this is what 730 feet. The drawing, again, Lot 13, 14, and 15. In this area, there is a small gut. However, the pier pilings were going to be open here so that if access was needed, you could get through there. A little closer view. Showing all the way up. Cross-sectional view showing the marginal wharf being 10 feet. And this should be noted, only 3.5 feet is in the VMRC's jurisdiction. So we're taking jurisdiction over 3.5 feet plus the bold outline, which is another 8 feet for the mooring of the boat side too. So our jurisdiction is 11.5 feet. Obviously, most of the project was in the Wetlands Board's jurisdiction. Ground shot looking north. This is about a half to three-quarter tide. Ground shot looking north. This tide is approximately four-tenths below normal. So normal low tide would be in this general area here and would come across the pier at about 3.5 feet. As you can see, there a few small rocks in this area, and they are live oysters. Looking north, there are two more small rocks, and they are live. There's another one up here. However, this is beyond the construction of the pier. It would not fall into any type of shellfish sanitation restrictions. Some ground shots. This project was originally placed on the October commission meeting by staff as a page 2 item at the request of Commissioner Assistant Associate Commissioner Tanker. The project was removed from the October meeting and placed on the November 25th commission meeting as a page 1. Commissioner Tanker thought that it was appropriate for the full commission to consider the large size of the T-head in such a small creek, the marginal nature of the riparian lots, and the possibility of storm damage to small boats while moored to the proposed pier. Looking, as you can see the structure here, the pier would go from approximately here to here. And as you can see, the large expanses of marshes that private piers would have to cross. Again, we're looking north. On a good northeast tide, this marsh will cover up, and Commissioner Tankard's concerns were the boats being tied side to would have storm damage. It's approximately 4 miles from here out to Cobb Island. This is just another marsh, Elkins Marsh, I believe, and so it's 4 miles out. There's your pier. Would come along over to here. We believe that there's potential to moor a maximum of 10, or excuse me, there are a maximum of 10 lots that could have private piers. and this would be the farthest one up and the closest, Lot 9. And lots 5 through 8 are too far, over 2,000 feet, and we don't believe that that's a realistic possibility there. So we're dealing with 10 lots. Again? The Health Department states that the project is in compliance with their sanitary regulations for marinas and boat moorings, and it has been approved. The shellfish sanitation advises that the project involves approved shellfish growing waters, and the proposed activity will require seasonal closure from April through October, and this section of the waterway occupied by the pier, and only by the pier, and across the channel, the two ends of the pier. They also state that the project, if approved, the facility should be restricted to property owners and bona fide guests, and that no overnight occupancy aboard the boats moored at these at this pier should be allowed. The nearest oyster grain leaseholder in Ramshorn Channel is about a mile and a half south. There is public oyster grains off in Ramshorn over here, but they're not directly affected by the pier itself or the marginal wharf. VIMS indicates that a community pier is appropriate for this subdivision. If the waterfront owners eventually build private piers, then multiple structures could have a greater impact potential than one community pier. And VIMS usually recommends that the individual rights to build private piers be waived if a community pier is allowed. They also suggest that the number of mooring slips and length be limited to only what is necessary to support the intended use. No state agency has expressed opposition, and no public protest has been received. These are just some other aerials. My rendition of the pier itself as proposed, or the wharf. Again. And one last one showing my rendition of where Lot 9 is and where Lot 10 is, and the approximate boundaries of the subdivision here on the north and down here on the south. Our feeling was Lot 9 was the farthest north lot that would be realistic in building a pier, and they would build to this gut. And this would probably only be used during a half tide for access purposes. Our summary and recommendation, although staff is concerned with the issues that prompted Associate Commissioner Tankert to request a full commission review of the matter, 28.2.1203A5 states that the placement of private piers for non-commercial purposes by owners of the riparian lands and waters opposite those lands are exempt from both the Wetlands Board and VMRC. Each riparian lot within the Cherrydale subdivision, no matter how limited the water access is, has the right to construct a private pier. This would include piers across large expanses of marsh to small guts that could be accessed only at half tide. What I have seen from the past, $100,000 for a private pier is not unusual. If they want to have access and they have the right, they will build it. Chincoteague Channel has 700-foot long piers all up and down right now. In our Subaqueous Guidelines, Section 7 clearly states that the number of slips will not necessarily be predicated by the number of lots on the property. In this case, staff believes that there are 10 legitimate lots that might possibly construct private piers. Based on staff's general policy to allow two slips at a community pier for each riparian lot that severs their right to a private pier, plus one extra slip for guests, a total of 21 slips would appear reasonable. The local wetlands board acknowledged the potential for riparian lot owners to eventually construct multiple piers across the extensive marsh. The applicant was willing to sever their rights to construct private piers on all 14 waterfront lots. This would include the right to build piers to nowhere, which I think that may have been an issue too, just for observation purposes, if nothing else. The staff still believes that the multiple private piers have a greater potential impact than one community pier. Staff also believes it is difficult to predict if or when further residents will actually need space to moor 21 community boats. In light of the foregoing, staff recommends construction of the pier in two phases. Phase one would be for the northern 350 feet of pier, which could moor up to 12 boats. If the demand for mooring space increases, the applicant could request a Phase 2 modification to his permit, which would include the southern 350 feet of the pier. Staff also recommends that the individual rights for private piers on all 14 riparian lots, 5 through 18, be severed if a community pier is approved. And we further recommend a one-time royalty for Phase 1 in the amount of $6,555 based on the bold outline of the pier and the mooring itself. Over 4,370 square feet of state-owned subaqueous lands at $1.50 square foot.
Thank you, Hank. Any questions of Mr. Badger? Counselor?
I see this recommendation on many occasions that the rights to riparian piers be severed. And I don't know what the follow-up is by the staff or the commission. Do we require the developers to file with the commission for filing in the record of the permit, whatever document they file?
I believe, as part of the packet, the declaration of restricted covenants is what has been proposed, and that's the very last, number five in your packet is what's being proposed. I would agree with you if every time the applicant sold a lot, we had to be informed that this the riparian severn of the right to build a pier had to be in there. We'd have to be on top of every individual sale. By putting it in the covenants, it may be the more appropriate way to do it, and we would wait till that was obviously in the covenants and recorded.
Before the permit was issued, okay. Mm-hmm.
Further questions? Mr. Tankard?
To give us a feel of this, and Seaside, I know this area but don't know others, are there T heads of this magnitude anywhere on the seaside of Virginia at this time?
Not on the eastern shore.
And to follow up also on that, if I could, Commissioner.
Absolutely, Mr. Tankard.
Excuse me, Mr. Tankard. I do remember there is one in Cherrystone Creek. I don't know if it's 700 feet, but it is a marginal wharf. Another project that Dr. Forrest inherited down on the way into Cape Charles in Kings Creek. I don't believe it's quite this large.
So, and then also one of the things that you mentioned that the commission has given two mooring placements per lot.
That's correct.
And I guess one of the thoughts I have is there's waterfront, which most people think of as, or I guess I should say I think of as being able to walk out your door and get to the boat pretty easy. And then there's this, which you can't see the water unless you have a telescope. Do you think that there should be some equality between being able to walk out a door and have real access and this telescopic access? I mean, there'd be some sliding scale of sorts
for a community
for
pier,
quality of waterfront.
I think for a community pier, you do have that option. That's our general policy, too, for giving up the pier itself. In this case, we were basically saying that for those lots, we're not reasonably waterfront, and the chances of something happening there were slim.
Right.
So we're only dealing with the 10 lots here. And we've done something similar to that over in Upshur's Creek, where we basically said three or four of the lots, really, you can go ahead and build your pier there. You're not affecting anybody. But if you do a community pier and add more slips out front, you'll affect more. So we backed off of that.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on that, I have a question for counsel, if I may. I realize that this has been our past practice, that is to generally follow the guideline of allowing two slips per riparian lot. But is there anything to prevent the commission from turning that down, given the environmental sensitivity of the area?
No, generally, under administrative law principles, and first of all, I don't believe this is in the subaqueous guidelines, is it? Under administrative law principles, agencies can have policies, and they can change those policies. And typically, the test of whether that's a valid change is if there's a good articulated basis for the varying of what had been done in other cases.
Thank you.
Further questions? Mr. Schick?
Yeah, we're talking about a, I guess it's, as opposed to a T-head, it really is a marginal wharf access. I mean, if the waterway was wider, they would probably put slips, and then it would be a shorter dock. But because of the configuration of the waterway, they can't do that. So what is it? The dock is 1,400 feet long.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So you're talking two more docks would equal that, what they're building now, and that's very feasible that would two more docks would be built, isn't it? If this was not approved.
I believe so. And that's been our biggest concern, and it's obviously we wrestled with it
right.
too.
Probably more than two.
Yeah.
Environmentally, you're between a rock and a hard spot.
And that's why the Wetlands Board really, I thought, did an excellent job of holding them to the fire and requiring them to remove the riparian rights.
You paying that kind of money for many dollars.
Mr. Tankard?
Just one other observation or question. You know, we get northeasters. What would you say this place looks like in a northeaster, and could a boat be tied side to?
I wouldn't have my boat out there in a northeaster. That marsh will be underwater.
Yeah.
And you'll have northeast winds, wave action coming right in on it.
Mr. Schick?
Can we require a hurricane plan be written up with the before construction starts and a process of evacuation? I mean, is that, I don't know if we've done that.
I think council says about yes. Can you call?
Yes, you can. I mean, you have the
right to put that condition on it.
Impose reasonable conditions on granting a permit.
I mean, I realize that they put four or five docks out there that, you know, the same boats are going to be there anyway and get torn up also. But as a community pier, I think there's a collective responsibility to have a hurricane plan.
Further comments? Is the applicant, I'm sorry, Mr.
Fox? Well, I've read the law while we're talking here, and the law very clearly says that riparian people can put piers out. But I think there's a problem with the law. But we have stuck with the law as we have it. And I would hope that maybe the commissioner would try to lobby to have the law modified.
Change the law.
Yeah. I'll put that on the list. thank you. Bob, do you want to tell him how? I don't blame you.
In light of Mr. Tankard's concerns, I think realistically, if the people start to put it, you're going to see offshore mooring piles to allow the boats to be, you know, breasted off to the wharf. You're going to see whip antennas.
Right.
Or you're going to see 14 boat lifts. I mean, there's really no way that you're going to be able to leave the boats out there, you know, subject to the wind without incurring damage, you know, amidships or so. That's really what you'll see.
Right.
And they'll have to come back and apply
for that. After the retreating is commercial.
Except for the mooring whips there.
I don't know that we have anything for mooring whips, but offshore pilings because of the potential impact on navigation in the creek and the boat lift because they're treating it as a community commercial structure.
Thank you, Hank. Is the applicant present or represented? Good afternoon. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
State your name for the record, please.
My name is Ben Mears. I'm here for Paul Forrest, Cherrydale by the Sea. Hank's given you a summary of what's occurred. Done a great job. I want to address two main things here. One, in considering the design for the dock and the width of the waterway, we've ended up with maybe what to some looks like an excessive length. This is a dock for small boats, say 20, 22 feet, not anything larger. And given that, we feel that we need about 35 feet per boat to tie boats parallel to the dock. Mooring whips are in the plan, even though they're not in the drawings. that's intended, and that's they will be provided. They'll be put on the pier. Some substantial mooring clips. And we understand that, and I've lived on the shore all my life and have property right across the gut from this and about a mile down. It can get nasty over there. I don't know that I'd agree that during every nor'easter this area is a problem. You have almost a half a mile of marsh between this gut and the main body of water. Water levels do come up. That marsh isn't just totally covered. It is during, you know, our fall marsh ending tides, nor'easters that time of year, or during a hurricane or anything like that. It is. I think, and that leads me to the other thing. You know, what we're trying to do here is to keep some control over what happens out there. You know, I've done my best to advise Dr. Forrest on this, and it took some convincing to give up all these rights, other riparian rights, and to do this. But in having a community pier, you can keep some control. If the lots are sold, other people put their piers out, number one, during construction or even the type of construction. You know, our county, the state, they don't have standards. There was a pier on this property a little south not that many years ago, and it first big storm took it out. It wasn't properly constructed. And I have opinions of that, too. I was in the construction business for 20 years. The dock that's there now was pile-driven. It's there to stay. And what will be put in will be done from a barge and will be put there to stay. It's not going to be what I would call substandard. But, you know, you have control during construction. You have control with rules, trash receptacles. You have, just generally rules. And even, as far as what was suggested, as far as getting boats out in the event of a storm coming, I don't think you're going to see that same thing occur if 2 or 4 or 10 piers are put out there. Some will be good, some won't. Some people are going to throw their trash right off the dock, and some will be good stewards. So. I guess they're the main things. And, you know, keep in mind that the Wetlands Board had the same concerns. And we've tried to work with them and address these same concerns. We've complied with all the requirements of the health department. We've been through all that. We have had an attorney. He drafted something about giving up, waiving the rights. Putting deed restrictions on it. And I'm going to ask you to approve this as submitted because it's new territory for me, but here we are giving up rights for 14 lots. How do you tie that to phases? I can't see it. I mean, we're going to restrict by, put deed restrictions on all of these lots right now that'll run forever. I understand the reasoning, and we may decide to build it in phases. I mean, that's been mentioned. Do half of it, and then as needed, do the other half. I mean, the economy's not great now. Lots aren't selling that fast. We would like to have the permit, which I understand is good for 3 years and may be renewed, and deal with it as we decide. We may elect to build the whole thing at one time. But there is a reason for the length, that I brought up control, and I think we need, we'd ask that the thing be approved as submitted, not done in phases.
Well, to answer your question on phases, I think from a staff's perspective is we don't want anything overboard over the subaqueous bottomlands of the Commonwealth that may not be utilized for the specific purpose until the appropriate time comes, and I do believe that's probably what staff had in mind when they designed the plan that they proffered to the commission today. No more, no less. So. Any questions? Mr. Schick?
You don't have a problem with a hurricane plan with evacuation procedures? And
None at all. In fact, you know, we'd already talked about that.
Okay. And also, looking at the side drawing, I noticed that there aren't cross supports underneath the dock. Do you know, is that an error in the drawing, or is that some? I think that would help a lot as far as.
I wouldn't call it an error. I mean, you know, again, I know the area. I know the construction. If it were mine, yes, I would have cross supports. I did the drawing. I just omitted them.
Right.
If you want to make that a requirement, that's fine.
And
probably put them there anyway.
Right. And the plans are to put two bolts on each cross support, as opposed to one more commercial grade than
happy to do it.
Residential.
I'm a big believer in overdoing something and doing it once.
Mr. Fox.
You said that the boat size would be 20 to 25 feet. Right. Would you have any problem with the restriction that limited the boat length and the boat beam?
No, sir.
What do you think would be a fair beam size?
Well, what is a 25-foot boat? 9 feet?
9 feet.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, could be as much as 10.
Well, then say 10. No, I don't think we have that. I mean, that's the intent here, that people can have a reasonable runabout for access. This is not an area for a larger boat.
25, 10. But I'm concerned about the width of the channel and
we were too.
And hazard to navigation, and the bigger the beam, the bigger the problem.
And that's why we kept this as close to being over the mud flat as we could. And tried to take up as little waterway as we could, and no outboard mooring piles. We're giving up something there, and we have a limited use, and we understand that.
Mr. Tankard?
Mr. Mears, I have to say I do commend Dr. Forrest for making you his representative. Mr. Mears has always been a first-class fellow and has done great work. And my question to you is this, though. We're talking about two moorings per lot of the waterfront lots, but in reality, what I think Dr. Forrest is hoping for is every lot's going to have a mooring of upland and lots that are what we'll call waterfront.
Through this process, I've talked to Mr. Badger and members of the Wetlands Board, and the number two per lot with riparian rights has come up. It just so happens that these numbers are the same. I mean, our intent isn't just to go as big as we can and get all we can and cover every lot. The fact that there's 21 lots and that, in I guess staff's estimation, we have 10 waterfront lots and one for guests that we're giving up, so that makes 21. It's just a coincidence.
Further comments? Thank you, Mr. Mears. This is a public hearing. Is anyone else in support of the project? Anyone here in opposition to the project? The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Schick?
I move that we approve this permit request with adding the need for a hurricane plan. And mooring whips, cross support, and double bolting the
25 by 10.
Oh yes, and then 25 by 10 maximum width of boats to be docked there. I'd like to move that he gets approved for the project length that he requested, although I understand staff's concerns and I agree with that, but I always hate somebody not getting all they need to begin with, and then later, who knows what happens in the future. Yeah, so.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just say I think it is unfortunate to see a project of this scale in an area this pristine. Just looking at this marsh it's going into, and yet it's clearly preferable to having that many more individual piers going into the same area. So I think in the end it does balance out our concerns.
Further comment, Mr. Tankard?
I have to say I agree. I perhaps would prefer staff's recommendation, but I can support Mr. Schick's motion.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Mears. Mr. Grabb?